I'm going to read something quickly and then I'm going to go on to the word and because our time is past for much spent. This is something that I heard from the radio somewhere, someone who preaches on the radio, and I took it because I thought it was very nice and very much related to what we're going to talk about this morning. It reads like this. It's amazing how miscommunication can lead to misunderstanding. This is especially true when what is being communicated winds up in the hearing of wrong person. I thought of that just this past week when I came across a story of a Minneapolis couple who were there in February and it was raw and it was frigid, and they decided they would enjoy a long weekend in Florida under the sun and relaxing at the beach. The problem was both of them worked and so getting a schedule that coordinated was a tough thing to do. Like many of us here who wanted to be here with their loved ones or their wives or their partners, all these kind of thing, and you are not able to come, all of you, because of your schedules. And so the husband agreed to go just a day earlier and he would meet his wife who would come that day following. When he got to the hotel, he pulled up his laptop and decided to send his wife an email back in Minneapolis. However, he accidentally left off one letter in her address, and so the email went to another person without him realizing it. In Houston, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He was a minister of many years and had been called home to go to glory following a sudden heart attack. The widow checked her email, expecting condolences from relatives and friends. Upon reading the first message, however, she fainted and fell to the floor. The widow's son heard the noise and rushed into the room and then turned and saw the message on the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife from your departed husband. Subject, I have arrived." It went on to say, "I just arrived and had been checking in. I have been checked in. Everything went very smoothly after my departure. I also verified that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow." "Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It is sure is hot down here." Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you think about these things, someone waiting for his wife and the other one just crying her, you know, grief through, so that she may be able now to find comfort. And then she receives such kind of email: "You are being expected tomorrow." You would faint. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you again and we pray that your presence is going to be with us. As we hear your word in those few minutes that are remaining, we pray that you're going to open our ears, that we may be able, dear Father, to comprehend that which you have for us this morning. We pray, Father, that you're going to communicate your oracles and your truths, that this hour may not be wasted, and that it is going to be a benefit to us, O God, even in our walk with you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I would like us to open our Bibles to our familiar verse that we are dealing with right now. I tried to get somebody else to come and speak to this morning, but since now I am debuting as the new president, it is very important that you know how I speak as well. You have seen me running around and putting things together. And now I'd like to stand before you as a man of God, preaching the word of God because it is living within me. Praise God. And today I want to just take a very few minutes and, you know, do an exposition of our theme that you may now know exactly where we are. We have talked about this a little bit. And Robbie has come here and told us many times that we want to leave this place and say that we have been at the mountaintop. And one thing that I always thank God for is when we come in his presence, we are changed and we are never the same again. You know, I always tell people what the apostles experienced after Jesus left them. And as soon as he left, they had Peter and John and the rest of the disciples speaking. And they were so eloquent and so powerful, so convincing. And everybody were amazed when they heard these people speak. And they say that these people are not schooled. They are not educated. And yet they have such eloquence. They speak with such an authority as though they know what they are doing. And then they realized that these people must have been with Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. If you come to Jesus, if you have spent time with Jesus, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Praise God. Somebody came to us and said that it doesn't matter if you have more degrees than a thermometer. It doesn't matter. But if you have Jesus, if you spend a short time with Jesus Christ, you come out schooled and educated. You come out refined. You come out eloquent. It doesn't matter if you stutter. There's a man down here in Texas. His name is Tony Evans. He was born a stammerer. Can you imagine? He couldn't even utter one word without spending like a minute rehearsing it. But now he speaks with a lot of eloquence because God has changed his life because he spent time with God. When you spend time with God, you are not the same again. Praise the name of Jesus. And so, therefore, this time, we are going to spend our time at the feet of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, actually, let me read from verse 10, and then I'll continue up to verse 13. It says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away," and I'm reading from King James Version, "in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up." 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, then what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwell." This is Peter speaking. And he is speaking in a way of warning, because he knows that we are not here forever. Praise God. Our time is coming. Every day we hear of the departure of a brother or a sister, leaving us and going on to glory. It only reminds us that life is not permanent here on earth. We are on transit. We are sojourners. We are passing by. And that day will come when we will all be departed. We will no longer be here. But I really thank God, because the end of this life is not the end of everything. Praise the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that those who are in Christ Jesus, though they may be dead, they shall yet live again. There is eternal glory that we have been waiting for. He says, if you are looking for that eternal state, that new heaven and new earth, that glorious eternity, if you are longing for that, then it ought to be to have an impact in your life. You gotta know something about yourself in order for you to be able to align yourself. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, they always say that astrologers say that you know, when they are predicting or they are foretelling your life, people's lives, they don't foretell mine. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know how many people engage themselves with fortune tellers or astrologers. Sometimes they ask you, you know, what star were you born under? And sometimes, you know, when I was younger, I knew that I was a Scorpio or something like that. But I always tell them, the star of Jesus Christ, amen. I don't care about Virgo and whatever and Scorpios and stuff like that. But now, what I'm saying, if they say that if your stars are aligned in a certain way, then your future looks like this. They tell you, if your stars are in a form of a plow, I don't know, or something like that, then you will be, I don't know whether you become a farmer or something. But anyway, what I'm saying is that if you align yourself with Jesus Christ, then your destiny is sure. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore, you have to have a life that speaks about your destiny. You know, when you are going for on a safari, like you did coming here, people didn't need to know, or you didn't need to go around and telling everybody in your estate that, oh, I am going somewhere. All they needed to see is you putting bags into your car. And I know that guy, those people are going somewhere. When you're going to heaven, then you need so prepared that people can tell you're going somewhere. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore, we are longing for that day. We know very well that soon and very soon it is going to come. And as it comes, then how are we getting ourselves ready? So Peter says, look, if you are waiting for the coming of the great day of God, the eternal state that we are all expecting when that day comes, the glory that shall be yours in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because soon and very soon, we are going to see, we are going to hear the trumpet sound. And as the trumpet sounds, are you going to be such a person that is prepared enough to be able to go with him? You know, when Elisha wanted to receive something from Elijah, and he kept on following Elijah from one point to another, from Bethel to Gilgal to all these places, and Elijah tried to shake him off. Elisha kept on saying, no, I am not going to leave you. And he kept on following and following and following. Until the sons of prophets kept on, you know, came to Elisha and told him, we have seen you walking around and running around the prophet. Don't you know that he's going to be taken away? So it's okay for you. Go back and start doing the things that you normally do. But let me tell you, Elisha said that I am not going to leave him. I will keep on going. They kept on telling him he is going to be taken away. He kept on asking them, what does it matter to you? Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. He knew what he wanted. Praise the name of Jesus. And this is what he said. He said that I will go with him until the very end. This is his words. He said this. That if you will be taken, I'd like a double portion of your anointing. Praise the name of Jesus. And then what did Elijah tell Elisha? He told him, if you will only see me, hallelujah, if you will only see me being taken away, then your need will be met. If you will only see me being taken, that was the only condition. And therefore it behooves Elisha to keep his eyes focused on the man of God, lest he misses the opportunity. The moment you remove your eyes from Jesus, you miss the opportunity. And Jesus was crying for Jerusalem. And he said that, oh ye Jerusalem, for you did not know the day of your visitation. And many people are missing the days of their visitation. If you are not aligned with Jesus Christ, you will miss his day. Praise the name of Jesus. And then you know what happened? When Elijah was taken, Elisha was right there waiting. And he cried with a loud voice. And he said, "Oh, my father. Oh, you chariots." And he said, "Chariots of what? Of for Israel." And then Elijah heard the cry and let go of the cloak. And it came wafting down onto the ground. And then Elijah took it. And he said that the days of Elijah are over. Now let's see what the God of Elisha will do. Praise the name of Jesus. And you see, I have been following Elijah for too long. I have been going places and seeing all the miracles. I cannot continue praising and worshiping and honoring and glorifying the God of Elijah. How about the God of Elisha? From now on, you see, let's see. And he threw the cloak over the waters and the water parted. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know how long you continue praising miracles and all those things that all those servants of God. Benny Hinn. Oh, when Benny Hinn speaks, everybody, and I'm not, no pun intended here. I'm saying he's a wonderful man of God. I have no problem with it. But I'm saying, we all of us, we iconize people. We look at people instead of looking at Jesus. We want to glorify men, not knowing that they are actually, Jesus said that Elijah was just a man like you and me. Praise the name of Jesus. But he was so taken for God. He gave himself wholly for God. He lived such a righteous life. He walked with God every day until God proved himself in him. I don't know about you. I don't know why you keep on looking at those people. I don't know why you would look even at a president of Kenya Christian Fellowship. Don't look. Look unto Jesus. Because they are not the author and the finisher. Jesus is. Praise the name of Jesus. So Peter says that, look, if you're waiting for the coming of the great day of God, if you are waiting to be taken into his presence when he comes, if you're waiting, then he says, then you are anticipating things beyond destruction. You know, there are people who only wait until the day of destruction. And then they lose hope. There's nothing after that. There are people who are only looking until the day of their death. Because they don't believe in afterlife. They just know that everything that we see, that's all that there is to live for. But I am telling you, my brothers and sisters, we look beyond the day of destruction. We look into the eternity with Jesus Christ. And therefore then, if we are looking beyond the destruction of the day of the Lord, then what sort of people ought you and me to be? The phrase, it says, since all these things are to be destroyed. You know where it takes up back to verse 10. Okay? Where it says that the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. It takes us back to verse 7, which says, the present heavens and the earth, the present heavens and the earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. The unfortunate thing is that sometimes when we dwell in this earth, we mingle ourselves and we, you know, let me say, we commingle ourselves with the people of all sorts of walks of life. We do not even, you cannot even tell the difference. I went somewhere and told people that God is calling us to a life of uniqueness. Praise the name of Jesus. A life of uniqueness. We are unique people. The Bible says we are peculiar people. We are not just mere men. We are not just ordinary people. We are sons of the living God. Praise the name of Jesus. And as soon as you start now assimilating, as soon as you start blending in, as soon as you start fitting in the crowd, then you start losing your flavor. Because salt cannot be food. Praise the name of Jesus. And food cannot be salt. One has to sweeten the other. And the salt sweetens the food. And therefore, you cannot walk into the food and become food. You gotta be different. Praise the name of Jesus. You are salt of the earth. You can, light cannot be darkness. You gotta be peculiar. Where there is, you know, darkness is the default nature of the earth until light comes. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore we have come. God has let us out as lights of this earth, that we may be able to light the darkness that is among us, our people. And we cannot continue walking in that darkness as though we are part of that darkness. We need to live uniquely. It is so hard for you to stand out if you are blending in. Praise the name of Jesus. You cannot stand out. And I would like you to take that seriously. You cannot stand out of the crowd if you're blending in. Praise the name of Jesus. Then he says this. Now, since we know that is going to happen, this should usher us into another state of mind. I want to finish because my time is up. But I really want you to ask yourselves some questions within your spirit. Since Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon, where you are right now, is that where you're supposed to be? Praise the name of Jesus. If Jesus would come today, would you tell him to hold off so that you may clean up some mess in your life? Somebody asked us a question. If Jesus was your visitor tonight, would you keep him outside for a few minutes so that you may vacuum your floor? Praise the name of Jesus. Would you remove some magazines that you shouldn't be reading? Would you get rid of some music that you should not be listening to? Would you first discipline your children so that he may find them neat and waiting and obedient and caring? How would Jesus find you? Seeing, when he calls me, I will answer. I will be somewhere working for the Lord. If someone asked you, what would you prefer Jesus find you doing? Someone would say, oh, I prefer that he finds me praying. I prefer that he finds me, you know, preaching. And I tell them, I prefer him finding me doing what I normally do every day. Because I don't want to have a question mark on the things I do. I want him to find me at my place of work, working hard to please my employer. Praise the name of Jesus. I want him to find me out there, dealing with the teenagers. I want him to find me out there serving in any capacity that he has called me to. Let's all stand up for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.